accusations are part of a rightward shift in America, where the majority of our problems are laid at the feet of people Republicans claim have broken into the country like burglars to steal jobs and money from the real Americans. What they fail to acknowledge is that foreign labor has fueled the American economy for generations. Millions of young African men and women kidnapped and transported to this country and forced to become America's most efficient laborers. They were sold as property, bred like cattle, and resettled on forced labor camps with the single task of planting and picking cotton, cultivating rice and other crops, herding cattle, and building the grand homes and iconic buildings that define America. The profits from cotton alone propelled the U.S. into one of the leading economies in the world by the 19th century and made the South America's most prosperous region until the Civil War, after which the wealth of the country shifted north to the railroad men and the industrialists. With that came the 15,000 forgotten Chinese migrants who helped build the western portion of America's transcontinental railroad in the late 1800s. They were paid less than American workers and lived in tents, while white workers were given accommodations in train cars. These people immigrated to the country because there was a labor shortage that threatened the railroad's completion. They helped make it happen. In the East, it was roughly 10,000 Irish immigrants who helped build the eastern section of that railroad. Irish immigrants also helped build a number of America's key canals, like the Erie Canal, because few locals would work for the low wages that the newly arrived Irish would. During World War II, this country created an agreement called the Bracero Program that sought labor from millions of Mexican men to work legally in the United States on short-term labor contracts. These agreements addressed a national agricultural labor shortage brought on by the great migration of black plantation workers out of the South. But cheap labor kept and continues to keep being reproduced through migration. This country was literally built by unwilling and willing migrant hands. And they have always been met with disdain. We used their labor and promptly targeted them with stereotypes and anti-migration laws to stop them bringing their wives and families. There was the Chinese Exclusion Act, the first significant law restricting immigration into the United States. There was the Know Nothing Party, which made anti-Irish immigration its main agenda. And then there was Eisenhower's racist mass deportation program, offensively called Operation Wetback, which forcibly deported nearly 2 million immigrants, a program that Donald Trump has promised to resurrect if he's elected, which could literally cripple the economy. Some estimate that it would cost the federal government nearly $900 billion in lost revenue over 10 years and would immediately reduce the nation's gross domestic product. Whether you like it or not, immigrants continue to build America and make it run.
This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. Here's not got a free shot. All these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Welcome to the War Room. It's Natalie G. Winters hosting, filling in for Stephen K. Bannon on Friday, March 29th in the year of our Lord, 2024. Sorry to start off on such a bad note, having to watch that MSNBC drivel. I always say there's no single issue that the American people are more gaslit on than immigration. But frankly, that segment that you just watched, I think, shows that we're already over the target on exposing what the Biden regime has done at the southern border. They can't make the economic arguments anymore. They can't make the national security arguments anymore. They're going with the morality one, that you, the MAGA movement, we're all bad people because we don't want to just open our arms to the poor huddled masses, except it turns out that they actually end up, you know, killing and raping Americans. Joe Biden refuses to meet with any of those families. In contrast, you got President Donald J. Trump acting like the actual president and doing the right thing. But of course, that's been really the Biden regime's approach on immigration from day one. We'll have Todd Bensman joining us in a bit to break that clip down and so much more. He's a great new article that he's going to walk us through. But we have some breaking news from our very own Mike Davis. You know, we preach action, action, action here on this show. We know they also do that at the Article 3 Project. So, Mike, I know there are a lot of judges that have ties to Trump. They're all prosecuting and, frankly, persecuting him. But there's one that you guys are singling out now at the Article 3 Project for some legal violations that I guess you guys seem to think there may be. Can you walk us through, first of all, who this individual is, but what you guys are doing?
So D.C. U.S. District Judge Reggie Walton went on CNN last night and did an unprecedented, highly inappropriate, unethical interview where he essentially argued that Trump is inciting violence when Trump raises serious ethical concerns about these Democrat judges, their staffs, their adult family members, prosecutors, their staff witnesses. It is not illegal. It should not be illegal in this country for a criminal defendant to speak out against a judge, a prosecutor, the staff, witnesses, the process. That is protected by the First Amendment. And these Democrat judges, in running their lawfare, are putting illegal, unconstitutional gag orders on President Trump. And this judge, Reggie Walton, went on CNN last night and said that Trump's essentially a danger to these judges because he's calling out their bias. And so the Article 3 Project is going to file a judicial misconduct complaint against this D.C. District Court judge, Reggie Walton, because he's violated Canon 3AC of the Code of Conduct for United States Judges, which states very clearly, quote, a judge should not make public comment on the merits of a matter pending or impending in any court. And that's exactly what Judge Reggie Walton did in his pre-planned interview on CNN last night. And that is highly inappropriate. It's highly prejudicial to any criminal defendant to have a federal judge go on TV and taint the jury pool by making comments like that, that a criminal defendant going through the process is essentially a danger to judges and the staff.
Is this one of the first complaints of this ilk that you guys have filed? And what does the time frame look like in terms of, you know, actual accountability or making this man unable to criticize President Trump and, of course, the MAGA movement groups like yours on national TV?
I anticipate that we will file this judicial complaint on Monday, and I'm going to make sure that the chief judge of the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, who is a Democrat appointee, I'm going to make sure that this judge takes this complaint seriously, because this is unacceptable that a federal judge went on a national television program and criticized a criminal defendant going through the criminal process and tainted the jury pool. This is why we have these judicial canons for these federal judges, and this Judge Reggie Walton clearly violated this, and there needs to be accountability because there needs to be a deterrent for these other federal judges who think that they're politicians in robes and think, I mean, what incredibly bad judgment does this judge have? Just the arrogance of these judges, the lack of judgment for him to go on CNN and make these comments about a criminal defendant going through the criminal process. This is inexcusable. The Chief Justice of the United States, John Roberts, should take Judge Reggie Walton off of all of his cases while this is pending.
It's sort of like the mainstream media's, you know, wash, rinse, repeat cycle, where, frankly, you say it's arrogance. I think these people know that they can get away with it because empirically they have for decades. It's why we're at the point we're at. But I'm just curious, before I let you go, do you think, obviously, he violated that canon? It's pretty apparent. I know I watched the clip. But do you think that this just sort of speaks to the broader tiers of lawfare that are being weaponized against Donald Trump? In other words, it's not really even about the court cases themselves. They know they're going to lose. They know there's really no there. But in the court of public opinion, they want to just trash and tank him as much as they can. So they're weaponizing, whether they're judges, you know, former presidents like we saw last night, you name it. But they're weaponizing a myriad of people to sort of make the case that Trump is a danger to democracy, all the euphemisms that they love. But do you think this sort of proves that it is and always has been lawfare?
This is absolutely lawfare and election interference on many fronts. And there is a difference between lawyers who are doing this, which is bad. But the fact that there are federal judges, whether it's this Judge Reggie Walton or there was Beryl Howell, Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, filed a judicial misconduct complaint against Judge Beryl Howell for a speech that she gave. These are partisan activists on the D.C. district courts and the D.C. circuit courts. They need to be held to account. This is a red line that they crossed. And if there are not consequences here, look, I was the chief counsel for nominations on the Senate Judiciary Committee for then-chairman Chuck Grassley. He's almost certainly going to be the chairman again after this next election, and there must be consequences. Otherwise, there's going to be some serious oversight of these federal courts, particularly these D.C. federal courts, the D.C. District Court and the D.C. Circuit Court. These are partisan activists who have politicized and weaponized these courts. They're interfering in the election, and this is unacceptable. This is inexcusable, and I'm going to make damn sure there are consequences.
We are lucky to have fighters like you and institutions like the Article 3 Project. If people want to follow you, stay up to date, not just with this complaint, but with everything you guys are doing, and maybe even support, chip in a little bit to help all these complaints and whatever else you guys get up to over at the Article 3 Project and very good banners, though I was telling Mike he needs a better chair. Where can they go to do all that?
You can donate for my new chair at article3project.org, article3project.org. You can take action there. You can also follow us on Getter, Twitter, Truth, at article3project, article3project. I think we're on Facebook and Instagram as well, now that I have a good press team. And then my personal is at MRDDMIA, MRDDMIA. And happy Easter to all the Bannon War Room posse.
Real quick, Mike, before I let you go, I'm just curious, are judges like this, the lawyers that have gone rogue, are these the kind of people that in Trump's second, what should be third term, that they're no longer going to get away with it? We are going to use the powers of the federal government to actually have them learn what the definition of accountability is, and they're not going to be allowed to lie to people on the mainstream media, perpetuate this lawfare anymore? Do you think this is the archetype of the kind of person who thinks they can get away with doing this because they have for decades? Is this the kind of person that we're going to be justifiably targeting?
Absolutely. These prosecutors, these other attorneys, these judges who have waged this unprecedented, unlawful Democrat lawfare and election interference against Trump, there have to be consequences. There have to be political, financial, and legal consequences. There's going to be serious oversight. There should be special counsels appointed to investigate this obvious criminal conspiracy by these Democrats to interfere in the election through these unlawful means and to violate the civil rights of so many people, including President Trump, his top aides like Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro, his attorneys like Jeff Clark, his January 6th supporters. This is outrageous how our judicial system has been hijacked by these Obama and Biden Democrats, and they're using all the powers of our justice system and in our intel agencies to take out political opponents. This is unacceptable, and we are going to be fighting back every day at the Article 3 Project like we have been, and we're going to start ratcheting it up, like filing these judicial misconduct complaints like we're doing on Monday.
I love it. Mike, thank you so much for joining us. Happy Easter.
Thank you. Happy
Easter. It's true. And in the meantime, first of all, you got to go to Birchgold.com/Bannon to get the latest installment of The End of the Dollar Empire. I think if you look outside to say the economy looks like a burning building or an accident waiting to happen, that's probably too nice, which is why you got to Birchgold.com. Got to go to Birchgold.com/Bannon, talk with Philip Patrick and the team. If not, you just get to hear his cool accent. And like I said, I always love the people who bring the copies of The End of the Dollar Empire to the live shows that we do and get them signed by Steve. And I would also say maybe if you have a few spare minutes, you can send a letter or a note of encouragement to Dr. Peter Navarro. You can go to Citizen Free Press. They have the address up, but it's 15801 Southwest 137th Avenue, Miami, Florida, 33177. Like I said, citizenfreepress.com has the, sadly, inmate number. We'll be right back.
The so-called financial experts thought we were in the clear. They were anticipating around 6 rate cuts by the Fed this year, and then the inflation data came out higher than expected. Friends, this isn't going away. It can't. The U.S. is $34 trillion plus in the hole, and yet we keep printing money, which pushes the prices you pay every day even higher. So you can either bury your head in the sand or you can do something about it. Diversify a portion of your savings into gold with Birch Gold Group. Gold is your hedge against inflation, and Birch Gold makes it easy to own. They'll help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and you don't pay a penny out of pocket. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898 and get your free info kit on gold. Then talk to a precious metals specialist on how to protect your savings from persistent inflation with gold. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898. Do it today. Action, action, action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back to the War Room. It's still Natalie G. Winters hosting, filling in for Stephen K. Bannon. But don't worry, we got War Room regular Todd Bensman joining us. Now, Todd, you have a great new piece for, I believe it's The American Mind, Biden's boss tightens the screws. And I know when you hear Biden's boss, you may be inclined to think the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, maybe even Susan Rice or Obama, Bill Clinton, any of these other people who are on stage. What was it, $100,000 a picture, $1 million a picture? Ridiculous. Anyone who pays that should probably be deported. I'm kidding. But you were talking about none other than AMLO, the president of Mexico. If you could walk us through sort of the logic behind this piece and really how much of just a fool and a joke Joe Biden has left us on the world stage.
Sure. Well, AMLO's got Biden by the bleep on immigration through southern Mexico to our border because he just said on national TV, 60 Minutes, I will slow this flow if you give me $20 billion. If you don't give me the $20 billion that I'm asking for, we're going to let it rip. And he said that on national and international television. It was really stunning that he would say that. He only has 6 months left in office himself. Maybe he wants to go retire to a cushier position as a wealthier elder statesman after he leaves office and that $20 billion comes in. But what's he talking about? Is that credible? The piece in The American Mind goes into deep detail about why that is totally credible. His threat is totally credible. I expect the $20 billion to get paid. And it works like this. Since everybody remembers in December, November, December, even October, we were seeing, you know, 10,000 a day, 12,000 a day, 14,000 a day coming across the southern border. It was so insane that international media actually went to the border and like covered it. They covered this. The numbers were so crazy. And that was just too much for the administration. So Biden himself, just before Christmas, went to Mexico City and met with AMLO, and they talked all about immigration. And when he came back, all of a sudden, AMLO had deployed 30,000 Mexican troops all over the northern border, rounding up tens of thousands of the immigrants that were about to cross and forcing them onto planes and buses and shipping them 1,500 miles south. They did this from one end of the border to the other, especially in Texas, across from Texas, rather, and cleared them out. And they were kind of showing the administration what they could have been doing all along for 3 years if they'd have only twisted some arms down there or asked or paid them off years ago. The administration certainly didn't need legislation to do this. And guess what happened? The numbers dropped from 14,000 a day to 4,000 a day, 5,000 a day in that range, 6,000 a day, which is instead of ionospheric, it's stratospheric. It's still unbelievably high, but the media cameras went away. That's the point. There's some threshold where the media goes down there and films it, and when they just go away, and apparently it's under 10,000 somewhere, maybe 7,000 or 8,000. So AMLO goes on national TV and he says, we can keep doing this if you want, but if you don't pay us, it's going to be Donald Trump in office, not you. And so that was kind of the gist of it. And my piece really digs down deep and shows what the Mexican administration actually did in Mexico from December, January, February, and even into March. Now, guess what? He's letting his foot off that gas pedal and asking for the cash. And you see him coming now. Their numbers are starting to move up. That's what's going on.
And there was another interesting report, I think, to sort of extrapolate this. I know it seems like every time you're on, there's another just staggering, you know, 5-6-figure number is the amount of people who are crossing into this country. I mean, each day from just one port of entry. But I believe it was coming from the Center for Immigration Studies talking about the population of basically foreign-born here in the United States. And I just want to read some of the numbers. In February 2024, the foreign-born population in the United States hit a new high of 51.4 million and 15.5% of the U.S. population, surpassing all prior records since President Biden took office in January 2021, allegedly. The foreign-born population has grown by 6.4 million, larger than the individual populations of 33 states, and this growth is being driven primarily by immigration from Latin America. The analysis goes on to basically show that these increases are happening at record high rates, even if you juxtapose it under the Obama years, who we know were also intent on destroying this country through the weapon of mass migration. But I'm curious, Todd, if you could walk us through some of these findings and just truly how staggering they are.
Yeah, that report was done by my colleague, Stephen Camerata, is great at this. He puts these things together. The point of a report like that is it is reflecting the borders situation, the crisis, which is the greatest in U.S. history. We have never had a crisis this extreme. This is absolutely beyond anything in the American experience. And the paper, I encourage people to go and look at it at cis.org, Stephen Camerata's report, that just takes us through the fact that we have had a growth of over 6.5 million immigrants there are in a very short period of time. I think the number, I'm just kind of going off the top of my head here, is something like 54 million foreign-born people now living in the United States, where it's up from 49 million just like 36 months ago. It never grows like that. That number is legal and illegal, but the number is always kind of just kind of incrementally on a trajectory, upward trajectory. But because of this mass migration, you can see that total number kind of, shoot toward the, like I said, the ionosphere. And those numbers, it's a great report. I urge everybody to go take a look at this thing because it goes into elaborate detail and it's totally credible. It's based on data, government data that a lot of people just ignore or purposely misinterpret.
I'd say purposely misinterpret and ignore. I'm curious, though, the numbers from this report, is it sort of like the reported data, I guess you could maybe say, on, you know, COVID vaccine deaths, where even the numbers that they're actually giving you, it's probably a lot more, right? It's the tip of the iceberg, because if this is the foreign-born population, there's still, I would wager, probably a large unaccounted population. So do you think that it could be even more in terms of the increase in just overall number than what this report, not to discredit their work, but to than that what the report actually shows?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of other data in that number. And he's counting a lot of legal migrants who were foreign-born. The overarching umbrella is foreign-born, not necessarily illegal. And the truth is that, you know, it's hard to, I think this would be a better question for Stephen, but I think that it's hard to account for the gotaways, people that have just snuck in to the country and no Border Patrol ever laid hands on any of them.
Isn't that sort of intentional from the immigration data reporting standards, right? They want to make it harder to make the case that we're seeing an invasion. Am I mistaken on that?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, but I will say that, you know, 2 million people have foreign-born, as the category goes, have gotten into the country in the last 36 months, which is by far the most ever. It could be that those numbers that are in the report don't reflect all of them, or just a portion of them, or maybe none of them. And I suspect that the numbers are probably higher that are just uncounted. And it's also a delayed, it's a little bit of a delayed calculation as well, because it takes a while for the reporting to get in. So I don't think it accounts for a lot of the most recent months. So there are some issues with it. The point is that is a really great indicator of growth in that population. It's a solid indicator of growth, and it's showing this. And all in the past, it kind of showed this, sort of like on a less sharp upward trend. And it's a very interesting read. I urge everybody to go take a look at that at cis.org, front and center on our website.
It's a great report, certainly an indicator of both growth, but also I would say managed decline here in the United States. Todd, if people want to follow you, where can they go to do all that and, of course, get your books?
Right. Well, you can go to toddbensman.com and sign up for my newsletter there, free newsletter. And I put all my stories and columns up there. And of course, you can go to cis.org and read me and see my video reports. I will be in Juarez, Mexico for most of next week, checking things out on the ground, kind of taking the pulse. So you can follow me on Bensman Todd. My ex, I guess it's ex now, on what I'm doing down there on the Mexican side.
Todd, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
It's like they're lying to you about immigration. It's all by design. You know that. Of course, lying to you about economic and financial metrics, too. What was it? Joe Biden said our economy was the envy of the world. I don't necessarily think that's true. That's why you got to go to birchgold.com/Bannon to get some what I'm sure the Biden regime would call misinformation. But get it, misinformation on the actual state of the economy, what they don't want you to know, why buying gold has always been a hedge. Like I said, birchgold.com/Bannon. And we'll open next segment with a trailer for a new documentary that you're most definitely going to want to watch. It's called Sick. Unmasking Big Medicine. COVID, everything there. That was the tip of the iceberg. Great work coming from the Daily Caller. We'll get the person behind it joining us after the break. We'll be right back.
Who can you trust? Government leaders repeatedly fail us. Self-appointed experts have led us astray. Distrust in so-called authorities is spreading like a bad cold. We can't quite shake it. But you are not as powerless as they'd like you to believe. When there's no one to depend on, it's time to rely and depend on yourself. Not sure where to start? Well, try this. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. Grab a 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply for just $60 off. Think about that, $60 off right now. My Patriot Supply has helped millions of American families reach self-reliance. I want you to think about that. Reach self-reliance. These food kits offer meals, drinks, and snacks that provide over 2,000 calories every single day, sealed inside heavy-duty packaging that lasts up to 25 years in storage. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and protect your future with as many kits as you need. These kits ship fast, free, and arrive in unmarked boxes. With My Patriot Supply, when you order by 3 p.m., your food kits will ship the same day. Save $60 per kit. That is $60 per kit at MyPatriotSupply.com. Take action. Use your agency. Action, action, action.
On August 6, 2003, my life changed forever. My husband of 10 years was found hanging from the rafters of our garage, dead at age 37. The coroner got on the phone with me and asked if Woody was taking any medication. And the only medication he was on was Zoloft.
It goes so far beyond of what we think we know.
Why are Americans so overprescribed?
Anytime you have that void, somebody will fill it, as you well know. And in this case, it was Big Pharma.
This is a systemic problem with our drug safety system.
The crazy thing about, you know, doctors is do they have an incentive to really cure you or want to change these things? Not really.
So I went to the doctor and the doctor goes, do you think you need something to help you with grief? I go, my husband just died. Aren't I supposed to hurt? And she said, well, you don't need to.
Wow. We know COVID-19 opened, I think, a lot of our eyes. I'm sure we knew the issue existed before, to how intricately linked Big Pharma is, not just to our politicians, but to, frankly, all decisions that are being made at political levels, social, frankly, mainstream media levels. But I think this documentary shows quite nicely that it goes a lot deeper and, frankly, darker than just COVID vaccines. And we know, as we've been saying for a while on this show, I believe we were crowned the number one spreader of misinformation by the New York Times for saying it, sounding the alarm about COVID vaccines, just daring to defy the mainstream narrative on so many things. It's great to see the Daily Caller doing the same thing with such aesthetics. I love the trailer. I'm sure the film is even more wonderful. I'm so honored to have the individual behind it, Mary Rook, who is with the Daily Caller. But Mary, if you want to kind of introduce yourself a little bit to the audience, let them know, you know, who you are, why you made this film.
Hi, yeah. So I'm a reporter with the Daily Caller, and we really felt like after COVID, like you said, a lot of people woke up to the realities of what big medicine was doing in America and what that really meant for American patients. And so we started doing a little bit of a deep dive and realized, obviously, this went way beyond COVID and had started well before that. One of the women that was featured in the trailer that everybody just watched, it was such a sad tale. She said that her husband had just started his own company and he was just having trouble sleeping and went to the doctor and got put on Zoloft within 10 minutes. And then shortly after that, like 3 months later, he was hanging dead in their garage. And she has spent a lifetime now of trying to figure out how that happened. And several of the doctors inside the documentary just talk about the financial incentive behind this and why these doctors are kind of going this way. And when you look at the money and you follow the money trail, you see that it's billions and billions of dollars these pharmaceutical companies are pumping into doctors and hospitals and direct payments too, in order to ensure that either shots get in arms or drugs get inside bodies. And one of the doctors that was featured in the film, he now helps with drug rehabilitation patients and that sort of thing. And he talks about how after he had a wisdom tooth removal, his tooth was removed. He didn't necessarily need painkillers, but he was having a stressful time in his life. And he semi-joked about how he looked at that bottle of Vicodin and he thought, okay, I'll just take half of this pill. And 15 minutes later, he goes inside and it was easier to get along with his wife. His children were behaving better. And that snowballed into, you know, anxiety medication and taking pain meds at the same time. And he said being on that track almost ruined his entire life. And when we made this, our big hope for this is that patients no longer go into their doctor's offices uninformed, that they realize that there is an incentive there to ensure that they walk out with a prescription in hand and to really figure out whether or not that prescription is going to have these nasty side effects that some of the people in the documentary highlighted.
So does the documentary focus primarily on SSRIs and antidepressants? Are there any other fields of medicine that you guys cover?
Oh, no, we definitely go into the COVID vaccine and the financial incentive behind that. I mean, we saw with the 2020 election what they were able to do with the COVID pandemic and how they were able to change a bunch of election laws and that sort of thing. We talk about that in another documentary we did called Rigged, Death of the American Voter. But in this one, we really go into how much money Pfizer made and how these regulatory companies really dictate what we're able to do. We had Scott Gottlieb from the FDA, who was supposed to be protecting patients, end up leaving the FDA in 2019 and going into the into Pfizer. And when you have this revolving door of regulators, and into pharmaceutical companies, it's the same thing that you see whenever you see these people from the defense department go into military industrial complex companies. It's that disgusting revolving door where you realize, okay, Americans are not being put first here. It's actually profits over Americans.
From the interviews that you conducted, and I'm sure the research you've done by yourself, do you think the driving force behind a lot of these decisions, which I would just say are at odds with the facts, at odds with reality, or the facts and reality are studies that are being put forth that are funded by Big Pharma, right? They play sort of a fun, shady shell game with that. But do you think that that is a result primarily of financial incentives, or do you think that there is something bigger going on that's driving these companies to really lie to the American people and deprive them of their right to happiness? I would go as far to say that.
Well, I think that it's definitely both. I mean, when you look at it, the profits have to be speaking very loudly to them. You had Pfizer, which was doing about $56 billion before COVID, and then by 2023 was doing $100 billion. And then you look at the payments that these big medicine companies made to doctors alone. It was like $2.46 billion in 2022, straight to doctors' offices. So when you look at that, it's hard not to see the financial incentive behind it. But, you know, like I have talked to other people before, there's definitely an avenue in which power corrupts people. And when you are giving these people this amount of power over other people's lives, they are, of course, going to take it. I mean, you look at Dr. Fauci and the way that he controlled the entire country of America during COVID. It's hard to see him going, okay, it's just financial. I think that people like that really enjoy taking power over other people and enjoy like that kind of sinister, I get to control whatever you say and do. You know, the joke is that they told us one mask and then two, and they're just upping the number of masks to see how many people would cooperate. And that's the sad reality. I think that, I mean, I have medical doctors in my family. I definitely trust them with my life. And so it's not to say that all doctors are bad. If you look at Dr. Mary Bowden out of Houston, she has fought for her patients for years now. She's been demonized in the medical community. They have threatened to take her license away, her business away, all of these things. She fought the FDA on ivermectin and won. Finally, just recently, the FDA was forced to stop their tyrannical march against ivermectin, and it is now allowing doctors to prescribe it for patients who have had COVID. I mean, you see all of this stuff, and it's hard not to think that they just want power and profit combined. And Pfizer alone, you know, was just such a strong force in this that it's hard not to look at them and go, okay, there was definitely a bit of that, both that power and the profits. I mean, they charged Americans more for the COVID vaccine than they charged any other country. So not only were they, you know, helping companies threaten their employees and say, you can't work here anymore unless you get a COVID vaccine. But then on top of that, they were, you know, charging them even more to get the COVID vaccine than they would be any other country. And I just think at some point, there's got to be a stop to this. And the only way that happens is if all Americans become really informed in what their medical care needs are and informed on how they can stop this like overprescribing that doctors and hospitals are doing.
Mary, if people want to watch the documentary, where can they go? How do they access it?
If they go to watchsick.com, that's WATCHSICK.com, you can go sign up there. And then obviously on the Daily Caller website, if you go onto any link, we're pretty much advertising it all over the place. I mean, this is such an important documentary for people to see.
And real quick, before I let you go, just curious, I know Big Pharma doesn't like its detractors. I think Anthony Fauci called me and Steve low lives for the reporting that we had done with regards to his conflicts of interest. Have you had any big pushback from Big Pharma?
You know, not so far, but we're just getting started. And I think if they start pushing back, I'll take that as a badge of honor, because being on the opposite side of them is always a win.
It means you're over the target, as we like to say here in the war room. Mary, if people want to follow you, where can they go to do that?
They can find me on Twitter at @MaryRook_. And then I have a daily column for the Daily Caller under Rook. So just go there and you can see what I'm doing.
Mary, thank you so much for joining us. Happy Easter and have a good weekend.
Thanks, Natalie. Have a good Easter.
Of course. Speaking of how the establishment lies to you, I think that was a, that wasn't even meant to be, but it was a, I guess it was meant to be. It wasn't planned. It's a nice segue to our next guest. You guys know Tyler from Turning Point Action, the action arm of course, our beloved Turning Point. But I hear you guys are busy in Arizona. I saw a tweet from Charlie that your first ballot chasing manager's class is being deployed in Maricopa County. Data team breaking down custom-made territory maps, each territory with 400 to 600 low-propensity Republican voters. I think we have the tweet up on screen there. This is how we secure elections. This is how we win elections. Tyler, if you want to walk us through what exactly you guys are doing on the ground game perspective.
No, thank you so much. We are hustling like never before in Arizona and in Wisconsin and in Georgia. And so we're really excited because here in Arizona, where we're headquarters with Turning Point, we've launched our program, our Chase the Vote program, which is really exciting because our focus is we have to turn out the low propensity votes, focus on the things that the Democrats have been doing, the left has been doing with all their outside organizations, their Soros money, and make sure that every vote that we possibly can get turned out gets turned out this election cycle. And so it's been really hard work, to be honest with you, thankless work of putting together really what's the first big organization for this. But here in Arizona, we are hiring hundreds and hundreds of full-time people because you need the full-time people to be able to focus on the precincts that are necessary to turn out. And so we're really excited for that this year. And our first class is officially on the ground, building relationships. And freaking the left out because they know now that we are definitely over the target and fighting not just to preserve Arizona, but to preserve the rest of the country.
Tyler, I'm going to hold you through the break because I know the mainstream media lost it when we launched the precinct committeeman project here on the War Room. So I'm sure you guys will get the same treatment with everything you're doing. The fact that you said you're hiring hundreds of people, I'm sure it'll probably be 5 minutes before that gets clipped and ends up on Media Matters. But I want to hold you through the break. But for the War Room posse who's listening, I also have a slightly unrelated announcement. But we have added Carrie Donovan, the wonderful Carrie Donovan, to our staff, who's doing some wonderful, wonderful write-ups on the warroom.org website, which you should go to. She's now doing basically every episode a synopsis, not just of the entire episode. It's very easy to read, but of our clips. So each guest, not only are the videos actually embedded, but it's also written too. So if you're looking to maybe say red pill, that's maybe too cutesy of a term, but get your friends woke to the fact that we are up against evil globalists, Republicans, Democrats alike. Whoever's taking money from George Soros, as far as I'm concerned, is not someone who I would consider to be on my same side. But you can send them the links. Like I said, they're on warroom.org. It's sort of a rundown of each daily episode. Make sure you watch the show, but also if you happen to miss it, I guess it's maybe a more effective way of catching up, or if you need to go back, maybe catch up on the maybe address of Peter Navarro where you can send him a letter, or more importantly, how to get involved with what Tyler is talking about. You can go to warroom.org. We'll be right back with Tyler Bauer.
I want to warn you of a huge change that could be coming to our money and our bank accounts. First, think back to 9/11, shortly after the government pushed through the Patriot Act. This gave the government power to spy on innocent Americans by monitoring our phone and email and tracking our movement across the internet. Now, Jim Rickards, editor of the independent financial newsletter Strategic Intelligence and New York Times bestselling author, is warning about a coming event that could elevate this governmental surveillance to a terrifying new level. In fact, some of the guests I've had on the War Room believe that the government will soon expand their powers to track our every move. If we say the wrong things on social media, donate to the wrong causes, buy firearms, or even vote MAGA, the government may be able to shut us out of our bank accounts. I can't say for sure if this will happen, but it's an interesting and dire warning. Fortunately, Jim Rickards, an American patriot and friend of mine, has made it his mission to educate us on what he believes is coming and how to protect yourself from the possibility of programmable money. Watch Jim's warning video now before it's censored like I've been in the past. Go to RickardsWarRoom.com. That's RickardsWarRoom.com now to see the video.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
We've still got Tyler Bauer from Turning Point with us, who's going to walk us through all the things that the mainstream media will be losing their minds over, and justifiably so. We love some action, action, action here in the war room. So, Tyler, if you can sort of walk us through what states you're doing this in, what it actually looks like from the ground game perspective, and most importantly, if the war room posse wants to get involved, how can they help? Where do they go to do all that?
Yeah, you know, so this is the novel approach for the right that nobody's ever taken. And it's really important to understand how the left has operated. So here in Arizona, this last election cycle, so many were like, I never saw Katie Hobbs or Mark Kelly ever campaign. How did they win? How is this possible in a year that felt like a red wave, that everywhere we went looked like a red wave? How did this happen? And the reality is that all around us, we don't realize this, but they've stopped campaigning for Joe Biden. They've stopped debating. They stopped doing things because what they're doing is they're putting bodies out into the field that are just chasing what are called low propensity votes. That means Rush called them low info voters. And these individuals can chase those ballots down, especially in a non-presidential year, but even more importantly in a presidential, to flip a close state or a close race. And so you have this situation that's been happening where it's just been the left has funded not just a few bodies, but literally thousands of bodies full time to come to Arizona, Wisconsin, Georgia, places that are smaller than your traditional Floridas, Ohio's, Pennsylvania, because it's easier for them to be able to manipulate some of these races. And so our side, again, has had some struggles because we've never put bodies on the ground to compete in this way. And so this is where, you know, after extensive research, watching, you know, I think the establishment like completely flop on this for now, you know, multiple election cycles, you know, people forget here in Arizona, we gave up not just one, but two Senate races because the establishment ran those races with an establishment candidate that got that lost really bad. And so it's high time that we not only get good conservatives in, which I think we're going to do this time with Carrie Lake in Arizona, but that we put enough bodies on the ground to support those candidates so that we can compete with the left and how many ballots get turned in with low info voters.
So, Tyler, give us, we'll have you back to walk through. I'm sure Steve will want to have you on. But in the meantime, if people want to sign up and help, where do they go to do that?
Oh, thank you so much. Turning Point Action's website. So tpaction.com/chase. You can volunteer right now. I'm telling everybody this. Charlie and I are telling everybody this. Plan vacation if you're in a deep red state or a deep blue state for Arizona, Wisconsin, Georgia. If you show up in October in any of those states, our Turning Point Action staff is going to put you out in the field to help us chase down ballots that we have to win. So tpaction.com/chase. If you want a job, we're hiring hundreds of people in Arizona and Wisconsin right now. Go to tpaction.com/careers. We would love to interview you, hire you, any friends, family, anyone you got. Please apply for those jobs. We need you.
I love the idea of booking a trip to Arizona to help turn out the vote. I absolutely love that. You got to get some like catchy branding on that. I absolutely love that. Tyler, if people want to follow you.
Out here in October, we need everybody. So.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Tyler, if people want to follow you specifically, where can they go to do that?
You can follow my handles just at Tyler Boyer. So TylerBoyer on Twitter, X. We're there. We're talking every day about this stuff. And so follow us, follow along. We're going to keep you there. We also have a podcast called Swing State Update that I do with State Representative Austin Smith, who's on our staff here too, where we cover what's happening in these key target states, stuff that you're not hearing, that you're not seeing. Our staff on the ground because we have staff in all 10 of the key target states doing the work that the establishment should have been doing. So we're there and we're working and we're kicking butt, and our team is there to help out wherever we can.
We love it. Action, action, action. Personified. Tyler, thank you so much for joining us. Happy Easter and have a nice weekend. Someone else who is, I would say, action, 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 personified in all things business and politics is, of course, none other than Mike Lindell. Wouldn't be a War Room show without him. Mike, sure you have some special deals, some special Easter deals, maybe, something tells me, for the War Room posse, if you want to walk us through the latest at the factory.
Absolutely. And by the way, everybody, everything you're seeing out there, it's not true. We're still in business. There was a warehouse we sub-rented and they backed out on the deal. So, but you know what? Keeping us in business is the War Room Posse. And we are running the biggest extravaganza we've ever had, ever, the spring sale. Call it an Easter sale because the War Room Posse is such a blessing to us. We're doing something we haven't done for anyone in the country, and that's our open box. This comes right from our outlet store that they say was shut down, but it's not. This is an open box robe, bathrobe sale. These are $170-some robes for $39, everybody. They come right from our outlet store. They're brand new. They're open box special, any size, any color right now. Very limited supply. We saved them for the War Room Posse. Get them today. They'll probably be gone by Monday. Get them right now. Use that promo code War Room. Call 800-873-1062. Also, we're having the $25 extravaganza. And these are two multi-use my pillows. I use these everywhere. There's over 60 to choose from. You have the patriotic ones with God, all things are possible. These are, you get two of these pillows. I use them for everything, two for $25, everybody. And then if you go to the website, use promo code War Room, all the other War Room specials are there. The six-piece towel sets, lowest price in history, $25. All our spring sandals came in, $25 a set. These are, you won't find these anywhere else, but they're normally $59.95. They have technology in them that's made from soybeans. This impact gel in these sandals, there's nothing like them in the world. And there's the $25 for the premiums that started it all with MyPillow, with Giza ticking now. Any size there, even king size. So we are running the biggest War Room special for this great Easter weekend. We owe it to you. What a blessing that the War Room Posse has been, and Natalie, the coming on here every day. And my employees are so grateful to you and Steve and the whole War Room Posse for keeping us in business during the times they've attacked us every single day, and this week was no exception.
Of course, and the feeling is mutual. Mike, thank you so much for joining us. Happy Easter. And thank you, War Room Posse, for joining me. Don't worry, Steve will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. I hope you guys have a wonderful Good Friday. Happy Easter if I don't see you guys before then. Have a good one. God bless.
The apples in your holiday pie taste amazing, but it's not exactly the recommended 5 servings of fruits and vegetables. The Mayo Clinic says if you want to help prevent heart disease, lower blood pressure, and your cholesterol, eat 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day, which, as you know, is almost impossible. That's why you need to check out Field of Greens. Every fruit and vegetable in Field of Greens was medically selected by doctors to support your vital organs, like your heart, your lungs, your kidneys, and your immune system. Yo, folks, the holidays are here and you need to stay healthy. Plus, you'll notice your skin, hair, and nails will look healthier. Field of Greens is the simplest way to get those daily fruits and veggies, and it tastes amazing. Let me get you started with 15% off your first order. Visit fieldofgreens.com. Use promo code Bannon. That's promo code Bannon at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com. Make sure you take it today. Use your agency. Action, action, action. Fieldofgreens.com. Promo code Bannon. That's code War Room at checkout to save 67%. Do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.